In our weather, showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 4 p.m. today and after. Our high today, much cooler, near 73. And for tonight, more rain is likely. Our lows will be near 68.
Support for classical music on WGTD comes from Piasecki Funeral Home. Honor a life well lived with a gift of a service for burial or cremation with a professional, friendly, and compassionate staff. Serving the community for 90 years. Piasecki Funeral Home.
And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg.
Once upon a time,
I wish,
in a far-off kingdom,
more than anything,
lived a fair maiden, a sad young lad,
I wish,
and a childless baker,
more than life,
I wish, with his wife.
Those are the opening measures of one of the most amazing shows in the history of the Broadway musical, Into the Woods by Stephen Sondheim. And this remarkable show is about to be performed at the Racine Theater Guild. In fact, opening night is tonight. And I really appreciate two gentlemen extremely busy with this production, making time in their schedules to talk about Into the Woods at the Racine Theater Guild. First of all, at the helm of this production, serving as both stage director and musical director, I can scarcely imagine such a thing, Rob Cruz. That is, I can scarcely imagine one person taking on all of that responsibility for this complicated show. Rob Cruz, who during the school year is director of choral and theatrical activities at Union Grove High School, as well as their fine arts department lead. So Rob Cruz is with us today, and also with us is Nick Cicerelli, who is the head of the theater program at Tremper High School here in Kenosha. And he has the critically important central role of the narrator of Into the Woods, this amazing show which draws together in remarkable intersection all kinds of different fairy tales and fairy tale characters all living adjoining the same woods and crossing paths and having their lives combine and mix in ways never seen before Sondheim wrote this amazing show. It is complex theatrically and musically as well. And fortunately, Rob has assembled an amazing cast bursting with talent, and they are more than equal to the considerable challenges of this show. So that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes, about Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods, again, opening tonight at the Racine Theater Guild. Rob Cruz, Nick Cicerelli, we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Thank you.
Really glad you're here. So, Rob, let me just make sure everybody understands what I was saying, that, you know, I can scarcely believe that Rob Cruz, you know, is doing this or can do this. I mean, you are a person whose talents are considerable, and I respect them very much. But honestly, I cannot imagine doing both of those things, that is, bearing the responsibility of being both the stage director and the music director for a show so complicated. However, I suspect, as you're going to explain how that's possible, I have a feeling you're going to tell me that it maybe almost works better because this show, in terms of its theatrical and musical elements, is such a blended thing.
Yeah, when I was approached actually by Doug Insness, who's the managing artistic director at the RTG, he said, would you be interested in doing music or director, or would you be interested in doing both? And I kind of thought about it, and for this show, it like really makes sense that you do both because they're so intertwined throughout the whole production. And for me to be able to go back and forth between music and then book and then just to keep the story rocking and rolling and to be able to check in on musically but also theatrically, I just felt like it was a more natural mix of being both of those components.
So at Union Grove High School, where I've seen a couple of your really delightful productions, have you also served both of those functions? So even in shows that are not kind of this unique beast, has that also been something you're experienced with doing?
Yes. Yeah. At Union Grove High School, I always do the music and I also do the directing as well. And that's just the way our school has been set up. And I've over my time at Union Grove, I've been able to kind of put down how it can work together more successfully and kind of fine-tuned how I can lay out rehearsals and to that sort, which has really helped in this production as it feels like a culmination of what I've been working through at my school for the past 5-6 years.
Fantastic. And I know that also maybe propitious timing is that you have been in the graduate program at Carthage in musical theater pursuing your master's degree. And I suspect that some of what you've learned has only enhanced your skills to take on something like this.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate to have gone through that program because now I feel like I have even more language to not only help vocally, but theatrically, and then also a wide range of ages, which we have in the cast, all the way from high school up through, some...
dot, dot, dot.
Dot, 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 dot. Exactly.
I'm married to dot, dot, dot.
Who is wonderful. Yes, we love dot, dot, dot.
Nick Cicerelli, head of theater at Tremper High School. Tell us a little bit about, and this is something that Rob has done as well, but I'm just more interested to hear about it from you today, the idea of stepping away from being the teacher or being the director to being on the stage as a performer. And you've done that at least once before, I know, at the Theater Guild. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, in a sense, how do you see those folding together?
Sure. Well, I love it. I love having no responsibility besides my role as an actor and learning what I have to learn and working with the other cast members. But I think... as a director, I think it's a very good thing to do every once in a while to step away from that and be directed, because you pick up a lot more on how just different communication styles. And I've learned a lot, you know, how I communicate. I think Rob and I have very, very similar directing styles. And so being directed by him has made me very aware of how I communicate things as well and how I time things out as well. And it's been a huge learning experience for me. And I like stepping back and doing that every once in a while. I think it's very healthy to do that and to be on the other side of things rather than always be in control of stuff. Plus, I just like not being in control of that over the summer. It's nice to have some time off from that every once in a while.
Right. I mean, and do something as easy and simple as being the narrator and old man and Into the Woods.
Absolutely.
Rob, what's it like for you to be directing a cast, unlike at Union Grove, where I'm pretty sure you're not directing anybody who is also a theater director themselves? You know, in this cast, you have not only Nick Cicerelli, but you have, for instance, Amy Bowdersey, who oversees a lot of what goes on at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. And for all I know, maybe there's somebody else in the cast as well. Is that at all strange to know that in the cast you're directing are people who could conceivably be directing you?
For me, it's like it's been the most amazing experience because it's felt collaborative in a wonderful way. And I walked into the first rehearsal and I basically said, I'm not perfect and we're going to be doing Sondheim and I'm going to make mistakes and you can call me out. My ego is not so big that I can't take that. And they have been wonderful to work with. And we have such a wide range of musician, performer, teachers, acting professionals in the show. And it's been exciting because everyone brings something different to the table, but there's like this buzz and this excitement. A lot of these people came in knowing this material, and then to dive in and to really get in the weeds of the score itself and then the book itself, everyone kind of felt collaborative. Like, I love this little bit that you're doing. How do we push that further? Where do we go? So it felt very exciting. Each rehearsal felt easy, where in Sondheim and all of this big productions case could feel very scary or difficult. Mm-hmm. And it just felt natural. This group is just wonderful to work with. So whereas, yes, it could have been like, you know, a lot of these people could and should be directing me, that they absolutely just bring it every night, and it's been a wonderful experience.
My wife, who is in the cast, I mean, I've never heard her talk the way she's talked about this particular cast in terms of the high level of talent and the high level of commitment and focus and the high level of maturity and the high level of, you know, just friendliness and ease of collaboration. I mean, it has been wonderful. And talking to a couple of other cast members, certainly have had the same sense that this is a very, very special group of people. Rob, what is your experience with Into the Woods before this production?
So before this, I actually, my first like Sondheim experience was I went to a music clinic in Madison in high school, and I was part of a music theater workshop where they did little bits of Sondheim, and I was like, I had never been exposed. I was a Rodgers and Hammerstein lover and that kind of thing, musical theater style-wise. And so I came home from that and said, I gotta know more. So my parents bought me the PBS version of Into the Woods with Bernadette Peters and Joanna Gleason and Chip Zien. And so that was kind of my window into this story. And I just, as someone who has always loved fairy tales, like, fell in love with it. Just loved it. And of course, there's the 2014 movie with Meryl Streep that's kind of brought a new generation in, and I was excited to see what they did with that. So it's always, from high school on, it's always been a show that I've either seen through the PBS version or high school versions. I got to see it at the Marriott Lincolnshire, which was a beautiful In the Round production, which helped greatly in just recalling some of the moments with the RTG stage, which is has the beautiful thrust to it, which is similar to The Round. So yeah, I've had lots of enriching experiences and opportunities to see the show before this.
But this is your first time directing it?
Yes, this is my first time digging in.
Wow. And you've never been in it.
I mean, I've never had that opportunity.
Wow. How about you, Nick Cicerelli? Do you bring to this any firsthand experience with Into the Woods?
No, I've seen it several times. I saw it when I was in high school in Kenosha. I think Holly Stanfield produced it at Bradford when I was a student, and I saw it then because I had a few friends in it. And I'd seen the same recording that Rob did with the original cast. So, and I see it anytime I get a chance to see it. I enjoy the music. I enjoy the ideas behind it. I think they're a lot more complex than people think they are at, you know, on the surface when they, oh, it's just fairy tales. And it goes so much deeper than that. There's a huge emotional quality as far as, being influential over children. That is such a huge theme that goes on. And so, you know, any teacher or any parent is going to get a lot out of the deeper messages that are within the text that's going on here. So I've always enjoyed the show as well. I've never been in it previously. I've always thought about directing it, and now being a part of this experience, I don't know that it's so much more complex than it seems on its surface. When you see the production, you're like, oh, that could, we could do that. And then you do experience it, and you're like, I don't know that I could.
Yeah, right. When I get into Kathy's car once in a while and Into the Woods just starts playing, and I start hearing some of the music, I am, the last thing I am feeling is envy for Rob.
Yeah.
Or like, gosh, I wish I was doing that instead of Rob. I am grateful that this is Rob's baby, because I can't imagine it. I want to insert myself briefly to say, not that it matters in the grand scheme of things, but my initial encounter with Into the Woods was seeing it on Broadway, and the revival with Vanessa Williams, which is an amazing production. And it was one of those things where we had not mapped out every single thing we were going to see. And that night, that's just the one that worked the best, and we could get the, you know, nice cheap tickets and this and that. So, but I went semi-grudgingly, not particularly excited, and was just blown away by what a remarkable show this is. And then a few years later, not too many years later, the Lakeside Players here in Kenosha did it. And I was approached by Joe Cardamone, the music director for that production. I mean, he didn't expect me to say yes, but he still just thought he'd ask, could I possibly step in and be the pianist for that, for the pit? And you know, normally it would be really tricky for me to make time, but I just thought, I think this is a show I need to know from the inside out. I mean, I just thought that would be such a rich experience to encounter it from the inside. So I did say yes, and I'm really glad I did. Nearly froze to death a couple nights, but it was really amazing to get to know this score, and I still have no particular aspirations to ever direct it myself, but it makes me even more excited and makes me more appreciative of all the good work you've done. We are speaking today with Rob Cruz and Nick Cicerelli about the Racine Theater Guild's production of Into the Woods, which opens tonight. Rob, I gave a very cursory summary of kind of what this show is about, but I have a feeling you can do an even better job of maybe putting some flesh on the bones of what I described in terms of how this show is put together.
Sure. So we take a lot of those grim fairy tales. So we have Cinderella and Jack of Jack and the Beanstalk fame, and Little Red and Rapunzel. And those are interwoven to the story. However, we have these two new characters, the baker and the baker's wife. And at the beginning, they are visited by the witch next door, who tells them she will lift the curse on them if they bring back the cow as white as milk, the cape as red as blood, the hair as yellow as corn, and the slipper as pure as gold. So these two new characters to us go into the woods to search for these items and encounter the wolf and Red and Cinderella and the princes. And so the story continues, and everyone gets there happily ever after by Act 1 end. But then we see Act 2 unfold, where it's more about what are the repercussions of what these characters have wished for. How do their choices come to fruition? And then also some of these things that they thought they wanted, is it really truly what they wanted, and what happens from there on out? Hmm.
Nick Cicerelli is performing the role of the narrator, and another role that emerges eventually, but primarily the narrator. Explain what role that role plays in the scope of all that goes on in this show.
It's interesting, because when you think of narrator, you think they're just passing the story along, and he actually is pulled into the story at one point in the second half of it as well. So I make the story flow. So the intermittent dialogue, you know, it cuts out a lot of the little nuancey things that would just take up space in the grand scheme of things, which is nice. But the secondary character that I play is much more intimately involved with a lot of the other characters in the main storyline of what's going on there. So I think in the original production, they were both played by the same actor, and in a lot of cases, they're both played by the same actor. And the script gives you the option of having somebody play it separately or playing it together. I'm happy to be playing both of the roles, although the costume changes are exciting, to say the least.
Yes, we will hear about that in just a little bit. I've heard a few stories about just how amazing that is. Well, I think this is a good point to listen to a little more of the prologue. We gave a tantalizing, very brief excerpt of it right at the top, but now we're going to listen just a little bit more to that prologue, and we'll get a sense, or listeners will get a sense, of all these different fairy tale characters who are introduced one by one by the narrator. And this is from, I believe, if I remember correctly, the original Broadway cast recording. So here is the opening to Into the Woods.
Once upon a time,
I wish,
in a far-off kingdom,
more than anything,
lived a fair maiden, a sad young lad,
I wish,
and a childless baker.
More than life,
I wish,
with his
more
wife,
more than anything,
more than the moon,
I wish,
the king is giving a festival.
More than life,
I wish,
I wish to go to the festival.
More than riches,
and the ball,
I wish my cow would give us some milk.
More than anything,
I wish we had a child.
Please, pal,
child.
Squeeze, pal,
I wish to go to the
I wish you give us a wish, for
I
have a child,
I wish. You wish to go to the festival?
The poor girl's mother had died.
You, Cinderella, the festival?
What
you wish to go to the festival? The festival? The king's festival?
And her father had taken for his new wife
the festival.
A woman with two daughters of her own.
Look at your nails.
Look at your dress.
People would laugh at you.
Nevertheless,
she still wants to go to the festival and dance before the prince.
All three were beautiful of face, but vile and black of heart. Jack, on the other hand, had no father, and his mother,
I wish,
well, she was not quite beautiful.
I wish my son were not a fool. I wish my house was not a mess. I wish the cow was full of milk. I wish the walls were full of gold. I wish a lot of things.
Why, come in, little girl.
I wish
Cinderella's stepmother had a surprise for her.
I have emptied a pot of lentils into the ashes for you. If you have picked them out again in 2 hours' time, you shall go to the ball with us.
And perhaps a sticky bun or four.
Birds in the sky, birds in the eaves, in the leaves, in the fields, in the castles and the ponds.
And a few of those ponds.
Little birds, down from the eaves and the leaves, over fields, out of castles and ponds.
No squeeze.
Son, Milky White must be taken to market.
But Mother, no! He's the best cow.
Look at her! There are bugs on her dugs. There are flies in her eyes. There's a lump on her rump big enough to be a hump.
But
son, we've no time to sit and dither while her withers wither with her. And no one keeps a cow for a friend. Sometimes I fear you're touched.
Into the woods it's time to go, I hate to leave, I have to go. Into the woods it's time and so I must begin my journey. Into the woods and through the trees to where I am expected now. Into the woods to grandmother's house. Into the woods to grandmother's house.
You're certain of your way.
The way is clear, the light is good. I have no fear, nor no one should. The woods are just trees.
Portion of the prologue from Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods, as we meet at least most of the characters who populate this wonderful score. Rob, how big a cast are we talking about altogether?
We have 20 in the cast total, and we actually had 90 people audition for the production. So you can tell that it was a very popular show. People love this show to come out in that a significant way.
Right. That brings back memories of when we did Les Mis, and, you know, of course, going into it, I was just terrified that we wouldn't have who we needed in order to do that. The big guns you just have to have for Les Mis, and people just came from hither and yon. I mean, it was amazing, and there are several shows I can think of where a similar kind of onslaught of talent came through the door hoping to be part of this. And I should think, Rob, you appreciate, as I know Doug does, the fact that this cast is a wonderful mix of some veterans who have been on that stage a lot and some really talented people for whom this is their very first show at the Guild.
Yeah, it really speaks to the lighting up lives at all stages, which is that motto of the Racine Theater Guild. It's wonderful to have those veterans, like you said, come in and mentor and just kind of show the ropes of our personal space, which is different than other theaters. But then it's great to get that new blood in and have this really exciting collaboration of new people and our veterans. And hopefully the goal is to keep these new people around because we want them in future shows. They are wonderful. Mm. We need to keep them.
So you made some reference to the fact that a lot of people, you know, came to those auditions and came to that first rehearsal already knowing this show in terms of loving this show and having deep acquaintance with it. Did you also mean that some of these people came to that first rehearsal, I mean, already knowing all their music? Or is this one of those shows where, I mean, when you love Oklahoma, you probably kind of know all the songs, but is this a show where even if you love the show, that doesn't mean you know it in the way that we sometimes use that term?
I think that's exactly it. We know these themes and a lot of these words, but like diving into the score is another thing where we discovered things like, well, Sondheim really is going up melodically here instead of what someone might have done on an original Broadway cast recording, or what's notated in the script is not what we, or the score is not what we exactly want to do. So we really tried to be faithful as much as we could to the score. Make sure you take that breath there. Make sure you crescendo here and bring this beauty out. Let's make sure all these chords align beautifully. So there was a lot of digging in on everybody's part.
I'm just curious what your first rehearsal was like. That is your first musical rehearsal. I mean, where does one begin when you're undertaking a score of this sort of complexity and intricacy?
Yeah, we actually started with the finale. We broke down that little bit of Into the Woods at the end where we're in three separate groupings, which really helped. It helped people kind of get to know each other or become acquainted with the group that they would be with, and also to start hearing those themes because they pop up multiple times throughout the whole show. It just those motifs just keep going and going throughout the whole production. So to start there as a base, I thought, was a good spot because we could build upon it. It was a good building block.
Absolutely. Talk about the technical challenges that are part of this show. I mean, in terms of the theater side of things and the staging of this, what kind of challenges does it present?
Yeah, so on the theater side, like obviously costumes could be a nightmare because we're talking about high fantasy. We have Rapunzel with her 10-foot plus long wig, and climbing into a tower is an issue, and we have a cow roaming around the stage. And there are just so many fantastical aspects of this show that, like Nick kind of said, like you look at it and you're like, we could do that. And then once you're coming down to it, you're like, we need a cow. We need a tower. It becomes a different aspect entirely. So that also is very fun and freeing for our costume people. Ian Anderson and Katie Koble both did our costumes, and they were able to play and find, and what period are we going to be in, and where, how are we going to make them feel connected? How are Jack's mom and Jack connected? How is Little Red and Granny? How do we make them look like they go together? So that was very exciting, I know, for them. And then I was fortunate to have my parents build some of the very cool props. They built a beautiful harp piece, and we rented the cow from a woman in New London. So we're very excited to have that very cool. Our Milky White, I have to brag, is just beautiful. And as such an important part of the show, I'm really happy to say it's a beautiful prop piece we get to use. But additionally, the show itself is very farce-like. What really helped us, though, was that the Theater Guild is built for this show. Because we have eight different entrances, and we can utilize every single entrance in every space. And our scenic designer, Martin McClendon, did a beautiful job of kind of intersecting some of our entrances. So we even had more entrances on top of that where people can come from above and below. And so it keeps the show propelling and moving forward. And if you've ever seen Into the Woods, you know that it could be a very long, it can be a long show, but because everything moves so fluidly at the Racine Theater Guild because of the space, it's farce-like and quick and fast and fun. So that really helped in staging the production.
My understanding is, if I'm not correct, that although the crew is certainly populated by plenty of veterans at the Guild who have done a whole lot of things, you have a few young people who are also part of the crew. And I should think this is a whale of an experience for them to be getting their feet wet on a show like this, of this complexity.
Yeah, we actually have two ASMs who double as ASMs, assistant stage managers, and Snow White and Sleeping Beauty, and then another ASM who are in the grid, and they're flying birds in, and they're tossing leaves, and they're bringing in trees, and they're bringing in houses, and they're wheeling out lights. But their energy also is what we need in our theater because they're excited. They cannot wait to. I keep telling them, you're the hidden heroes of the show. You're the magic. You're putting the magic in the woods for us. So that kind of energy has been so uplifting and fun to have in the cast and crew aspect as well.
Nick Cicerelli, you mentioned the fact that because you are both the narrator and then this mysterious old man who appears not until the second act, right?
No, I'm throughout the first act as well. I switched.
Oh, really?
Which is almost from page to page in some instances.
I'd forgotten that it happens all the way through the show. So tell us a little bit about these sometimes incredibly rapid costume changes that you have to make.
Oh, my goodness.
And what it's like to be the person being changed, so to speak.
So I have a team, literally a team of people who I meet off stage, and they're on top of every single moment, every single scene I come off. But my second costume just kind of layers on top of my first costume. And so I step off stage, and it's about three or four people, depending on which day, and they just throw things on top of me. And they have it down to an order, and they have it down to a science. And there's one change in particular that is very grueling. I think we timed it out to 15 seconds. That is astonishingly fast, and they're there waiting for me, and thank goodness they are, because I could not do it on my own without them.
It's kind of amazing that a show would be created that has costume changes like that. I mean, you kind of wonder, like, what was Stephen Sondheim thinking to have that be part of it? Maybe it was unavoidable.
I'm not certain. I'm not certain. I always think that, too, when a playwright writes a quick change like that or expects a character to make some giant costume change at the turn of a page, and I'm not certain. Hmm. It's interesting to see, and I think the audience even takes into amazement how quickly that happens, and I think that there's something spectacular about even something as simple as a costume change, how quickly that transformation is made. And that happens, it's not only to me as well. There's other characters who go through some changes that are very fast. And I think that's part of that magic element, almost, that you experience with all the other stuff.
Hmm. We're speaking with Rob Cruz and Nick Cicerelli about the Racine Theater Guild's production of Into the Woods, which is opening tonight. And Rob is the music director and stage director. Nick is in the central role of the narrator and old man, kind of guiding events along and occasionally being part of them. Rob, say a word about something that I think you maybe touched on. I think it was actually something Nick said about how it is maybe easy to dismiss this piece and not appreciate what it is when you hear it's a bunch of fairy tales kind of stuck together. But in fact, this is a work that, among other things, is very dark at certain points. So it's probably important for people not to misunderstand the nature of Into the Woods.
Yeah, so just because it seems like a fairy tale, everything doesn't end like a Disney movie would end. We go back to these original Brothers Grimm tales, and you can see that they were very dark. And in the second act especially, we go to more mature themes than just getting your wish granted. We have, you know, issues of loss and infidelity and growing up, and they're really deep, dark themes, like you said. And it's also something these actors love to dive into. It's very fun for them to go from, you know, lighthearted to these darker themes. But it's not necessarily built and designed for young children, because there's a whole arc of character growth and development. And like I said, lots of sad things and dark things happen inside of these tales.
Hmm. So what is your advice, for instance, to a parent that is pondering whether or not their own children should come to this, would understand this, would appreciate this, would not be terrified by this? What's your advice for parents thinking about that?
Yeah, the Theater Guild is actually putting like a PG-13 rating. Obviously, we trust parents to know what is best and what their own child can handle. Hopefully everyone understands what they're going into. It is also a very long show. It's not a quick musical. It's clocking in at about 2 hours and 50 minutes with our intermission. So we trust that parents will understand what they're getting into, and also understand we are rating it at a PG-13.
Right. Nick, remind our listeners of the previous production that you were in at the Racine Theater Guild. It also was children's show with some, in a sense, mature themes.
Yes. So I was previously in Peter and the Star Catcher. I think that was in 2018, the summer of 2018. It's pre-COVID. And that was kind of a pre-telling of the Peter Pan story. So how Peter Pan became Peter Pan, how Captain Hook became Captain Hook, which was written, oh goodness, I'm not sure who wrote that. You know.
No, I can't help it.
But it's, it also presents itself as appropriate for families and for young audiences as well. But there were still some little hints of growing up, and you know, we call them darker themes. I think It's hard to say, because as an actor, I think I prefer performing in Act 2 of Into the Woods than I do Act 1. Mm. But Act 1 sets up Act 2, so they work so well together.
And yeah, you need them both.
You really do, yeah. Mm. You do.
Of course, part of what is really lovely about this show is that although most of the characters are adults, some of them quite aged, there are two children, I don't think anymore, but there are more than that, but two children. We have Little Red Riding Hood, and we also have Jack, as in the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. He gets to sing one of the most entertaining songs in the whole show, Giants in the Sky. Rob, do you just want to briefly introduce the scenario here?
Yeah, so Jack goes into the forest to sell Milky White and runs across the baker and the baker's wife, who happen to trade him some magic beans that grow into a beanstalk. And of course, Jack has to go up that stalk. And when he comes down, he sings this beautiful song about what he experienced.
So here's just a little bit of this wonderful song called Giants in the Sky.
There are giants in the sky. There are big, tall, terrible giants in the sky. When you're way up high and you look below the world you left and the things you know, little more than a glance is enough to show you just how small you are. When you're way up high and you're on your own in a world like none that you ever known, you're free to do whatever pleases you. Exploring things you never dare, cause you don't care when suddenly there's a big, tall, terrible giant at the door. A big, tall, terrible lady giant sweeping the floor. And she gives you food and she gives you rest. And she draws you close to her giant breast. And you know things now that you never knew before. Not till the sky.
Giants in the Sky, sung by the character of Jack, one of many wonderful moments in this musical. A musical that's not exactly chock full of self-standing numbers in the way that something like Oklahoma is, but there are a few songs like that that in a sense stand alone and that you will come away humming and remembering and appreciating. Rob, as we were talking, something made me think, it was when Nick mentioned COVID and the fact that when you were in the Guild, it was pre-COVID. And COVID, of course, is still very much with us. And as the Guild has returned to live theater, of course, it's tried to do so really, really carefully. And for the most part, we've emerged unscathed through several different productions. Can you just briefly summarize the way in which you and others are taking care with this cast and crew in the hopes of making it through this run?
Yeah, the Guild is very lucky to have a COVID committee who has been adapting and adjusting as the situation continues. So they have been very good about laying out their policies, and then we as the cast and crew carry them out. So when we started rehearsal, we were in masks. Not until we were able to be on stage were we able to be unmasked. Our crew remains masked. We continue to not let anybody come down to our green room to greet after the show. Our cast is always welcome to go up to the lobby to greet, but also in masks. So we're trying to make sure we're following the guidelines set forth by our COVID committee.
Very good. I'm thinking about that prologue that we played. And of course, the recurring theme of it is, I wish, da-ba-dum-ba-dum, I wish. I mean, from all these different characters, we kind of hear that as something of a refrain. I'd love to hear this from both of you. What does that have to do with what Into the Woods is about, that sense of I wish?
Wow. I mean, these characters, they have a sense of unfulfillment, I suppose, at the beginning of it. And I think, you know, they learn actually what fulfills them was the people around them and what they already had before, you know. They go through a series of losses in the second act of it, and I think they start to realize that those people that were around them originally were what was important to them. And it wasn't the other stuff. It wasn't the riches. It wasn't all of this other stuff that they thought that they wanted. And so I think it's recognizing that, you know, you have everything that you need around you already. You don't need to constantly be searching outside of yourself and outside of the people that you already surround yourself with. It's kind of beautiful when you think about it, because every character experiences some form of loss to a certain degree, and they kind of address that towards the end of Act Two, in a very, very beautiful number. And I think that's where it becomes a lot more clear about the wishing. In the first act, it seems kind of very surface level for them. They'd want small things, and it's things that we as an audience are already familiar with them wanting. We know what Little Red wants. We know what Cinderella wants. We know those things. And so we get the larger picture in Act Two.
Very good. Rob, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. For me, that I wish theme kind of lets the audience in and grounds what we would think of, you know, these, you know, immortal characters in more reality, because we can relate. Everyone can relate to I wish something. So we can instantly say, I can understand these plights of these characters. And then as Nick was saying, as Act Two kind of unfolds, it becomes, you know, are we careful what we wish for? Do we have what we need? Do we have what we need all along after all? But I really think it becomes a relatable thing, and it lets us connect and root for these characters throughout the whole production. Mm.
So for the sake of our listeners, we're recording this interview late Thursday afternoon. So basically all of your rehearsals are done. Tonight as we're recording this is preview night for kind of a select audience, mostly of family members and so on. And it is tonight, as people are hearing this on Friday, that the production opens. So what does it feel like to be here on Thursday of what is sometimes called Hell Week? Has it been hell or a little heaven too?
Rob's been saying to us all week, what we need is an audience at this point. And we feel that, I think, as well. There's you know, our energy was really high on Monday. Our energy was a little less on Tuesday. It was better yesterday. And I think it's because anytime you do a performance, there is a connection that you have with an audience. And that connection changes all the time, as audiences change all the time. But there's still a connection there. And that's the one element that we're missing right now, is that audience connection. Hmm. And we're hungry for it, is what it comes down to right now. So we're looking forward to having people there tonight and, of course, for the upcoming performances.
Very good. So, Rob, spell out for our listeners how many opportunities are there to experience the Racine Theater Guild's production of Into the Woods, and what should people do if they want tickets?
Great. So we run July 15th through the 31st, and there are 13 total performances, so 13 chances to catch this show. You can go online to www.racinetheater.org to order tickets, or you can call our box office at 262-633-4218. Our box office is also open in person from Monday through Friday, 12 to 6, and we're also open 90 minutes prior to curtain.
Very, very good. And before we let you go, Rob, would you say just a brief word about this final song that we're going to listen to actually in its entirety, called No One Is Alone?
Yeah, so at this point in the show, we have the Baker and Jack and Red and Cinderella. And the Baker and Jack are secluded in one spot, and Cinderella and Red are secluded in another, and they're singing the same kind of themes. And throughout it, they're basically letting Red and Jack know that these are the trials you go through in life. And as I told the baker as he was singing to Jack, I said, you're giving him everything he needs to know to survive the next part of his journey.
Wow, very good. So the beautiful song, No One Is Alone, to finish out our morning show today, with my sincere thanks to Rob Cruz and Nick Cicerelli for joining me today on the morning show. Best wishes to you and to your talented cast and devoted crew for this production of Into the Woods.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mother cannot guide you. Now you're on your own. Only me beside you. Still you're not alone. No one is alone. Truly, no one is alone. Sometimes people leave you halfway through the world. Others may deceive you. decide what's good. You decide alone, but no one is alone.
I wish,
I know. Mother isn't here now.
Wrong things, right things.
Who knows what she'd say?
Who can say what's true?
Nothing's quite so clear now.
Do things, fight things.
Dear, you've lost your way.
You decide, but you are not alone.
Believe me, no one is alone.
No one is alone, believe me.
Truly, you move just a finger.
Say the slightest word.
Something's bound to linger behind.
No one acts alone. Careful, no one is alone.
People make mistakes. Fathers,
mothers,
people make mistakes.
Holding to their own, thinking they're alone. Honor their mistakes.
Fight for their mistakes.
Everybody makes one another's terrible mistakes.
Witches can be right. Giants can be good. You decide what's right.
You decide what's good.
Just remember. Someone is on your side.
Our side.
Someone else is not.
While we're seeing our side.
Maybe we forgot.
They are not alone.
No one is alone. Hard to see the light now.
Just don't let it go.
Things will come out right now. We can make it so. Someone is on your side. No one is alone.
No one is alone. From Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods. If you're interested in attending any of the upcoming performances of the Racine Theatre Guild's production of Into the Woods, a production which opens tonight and runs through July 31st, you can go to their website, racinetheatreguild.org, or call the box office at 262-633-4218. I'm Gregory Berg.
And I'm Steve Brown, and you've been listening to The Morning Show with Gregory Berg. We're coming up at 8:59. Taking a look at our weather, heavy rain and fog right now. Rain came a little earlier than I thought, at least. We can expect more showers and thunderstorms during the day, then a chance of more between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m., then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 5 p.m. Some of those storms could produce heavy rainfall. The high will be near 72. Right now it is currently 64 degrees in the greater Kenosha Racine area. Winds out of the south at 5 to 15 miles per hour. And as it says here, a chance of precipitation, 100%. And they were absolutely correct. For WGTD, I'm Steve Brown. And remember, now with local news in the morning, four times an hour. You're listening to WGTD-HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.